Words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen. Well, our readings today have two great stories, and I'm going to touch on both of them because I think they're important. There are times when we are asked to listen to Jesus. One time is for consolation, the other time is to maybe because we're going in the wrong direction. But before I go into those stories, I want to talk a little bit about Peter, who's the prime, person within the gospel reading. In the New Testament, right at the beginning, we're introduced Peter as a fisherman. He lived in Capernaum. Now, a lot of us, I grew up calling it Capernaum, but when I was over in Israel a few years ago, everyone calls it Capernaum. So anyways, we'll use that pronunciation. And it was a town that lived on that was near the shores of Galilee. As an aside, this was Peter's town, and when we visited there, there's a beautiful church that set directly over top of the ruins of the house where Peter lived with his mother and where Jesus healed his mother when she was sick. It's a beautiful church that's built in the round, and there's glass all around it, and you can look out from the church and see the Sea of Galilee. It's just a beautiful, beautiful sight. But back to Peter's background. In the other Gospels, before the disciples were called, we learn that Peter came from a family of fishermen. In his early encounter with Jesus, Peter and his friends have been fishing all night, and they've caught nothing. They saw Jesus, who told them to try fishing on the other side, and they hauled in a huge catch, larger than they could imagine. Then Jesus calls them to follow him and become fishers of men. Peter stops fishing right then and leaves everything behind to become a disciple of Jesus. That story, right at the beginning of the New Testament, sounds very familiar to the one we just heard, which is in the last chapter of the last gospel of the New Testament. Well, Peter's relationship with Jesus had highs and lows. He had mountaintop experiences and he had some depressing lows. He had witnessed healings, exorcisms. He saw the changing of water into wine. He was a witness to the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain, where he heard God proclaim, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Peter also heard that he was going to change his name, because Peter's name, Jewish name, was Simon. But later on, Jesus said, "From now on, you will be Simon Peter. For Petra, you will be the rock on which I will build my church, and even the gates of hell will not prevail against you." Peter saw the empty tomb, and later he witnessed the risen Christ. So as a witness to all these things, these mountaintop experiences, he would remain with him for the rest of his life. However, many of his other interactions with Jesus were not so positive. Peter often blurted out very inappropriate remarks in Jesus' presence. When Jesus was trying to explain to his disciples that he needed to die on the cross, Jesus blurted out to try and stop him from saying this, and Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." The other time when he witnessed, Jesus on the mountaintop with Moses and Elijah, he was so astounded, he says, "Lord, let us build three tabernacles up here," which wasn't really appropriate. And if we remember at the Last Supper, when Jesus wanted to wash the feet of his disciples, Peter said, "No, don't wash my feet, I'm not worthy." But Jesus says, "Well, if I don't wash your feet, you can't become clean." So then Peter says, well, then wash all of me. So he is very impetuous. You know, there were also moments when Peter was very embarrassed and probably felt a lot of shame. When Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter, along with John and James, were waiting. Jesus asked them, wait a while I go to pray. Please stay up with me. They couldn't. They fell asleep. And this happened twice. So Jesus was very disappointed. And the other time at the Last Supper, Peter was talking about being betrayed, and Peter says, oh no, I will die for you. But what happened when Jesus was arrested, and during his trial, he denied Jesus 3 times. So he had his highs and he had his lows. He also had his moments of unworthiness. When he was first met Jesus, and Jesus called Peter and others to become fishers of men, and he saw the great catch of fish and knew that Jesus' miracles, Peter said, Lord, leave me, for I am a sinful man. In many ways, when we hear about Peter, he's a lot like us, and we're a lot like him. You know, most of us, many of us have had spiritual journeys that have had mountaintop experiences that we cannot deny have happened to us, where we've felt the presence of God very strongly. Many of us have also had desert experiences where we felt abandoned by God. You know, God, where are you in this situation? And most of us at times have felt unworthy to be called sons and daughters of God. Well, with this background, let's just take a look at this morning's gospel reading. First of all, we notice in the reading that only 7 of the original 12 disciples are still together. We don't know what happened to the other 5. They were a dispirited bunch. And they'd begin to doubt that Christ was going to actually return. They had left Jerusalem, and they had returned to the shore of the Sea of Galilee, back to home, to friends, to family. This is where Jesus first asked them to become fishers of men, but now they just wanted to return to their original ways and just become simple fishermen. This was their comfort zone. However, this return was not very satisfying. As we heard, they'd fished all night but come up empty. And it was not until they listened to Jesus' voice on the shore, instructing them where to fish, that they were able to fill the boat. A very similar story to the one at the beginning of the New Testament. After their bountiful catch, John recognized Jesus' voice, that it was Jesus, and Peter jumps into the water to reach him. And once ashore, in a similar thing, Jesus shares a meal with the disciples of bread and fish. Again, many parallels to stories in the Bible. And after which Jesus encouraged Peter not to just leave fishing and not just to be a fisher of men, but to become a shepherd for his sheep, to take care of his flocks. Earlier, Jesus had claimed to be the good shepherd who looked after his sheep and was even willing to die for them. He now passes that responsibility on to Peter. 3 times he asked Peter, do you love me? And 3 times Peter responds, of course I do. So each time Jesus instructs Peter, he says, first, feed my lambs, then tend my sheep, and finally, feed my sheep. So this is a passing on of responsibility for his flocks to Peter. And after this discourse, once again, Jesus says the very last words of the gospel, follow me. The story of Peter has come full circle from his initial encounter with Jesus on the shores of Galilee. This story from John is meant to encourage us to stay the course, to persevere when we feel lost or alone, to let us know that God is always with us and that if we listen to him, he will give us strength to continue on our faith journey. When persecution of the early church began in Jerusalem, most of the disciples fled in order to avoid arrest and persecution. Peter escaped to Rome and became the founder or the first pope of the Church of Rome, which becomes the Roman Catholic Church. Several years ago, my wife and I visited Italy, and we had the opportunity to walk along the Appian Way on the outskirts of Rome, which in the first century was the main land route from Rome to the coast of the Adriatic. Inside the walls of Rome, these old walls, is a church, the Basilica of San Giovanni, which means St. John's Basilica. And this was the original basilica for the popes up until the 5th century. This is where Peter established his church in Rome and where he felt safe from the persecutions that were going on in Israel. My wife and I also had a chance to visit this beautiful church, which besides the Vatican, I think is a must-see church if you ever happen to go to Rome. While conditions for Peter changed after Rome's great fire in 64 AD, Nero, the emperor at the time, blamed Christians for starting the fire. So they began to round up and persecute and kill Christians. So Peter decided it's time to leave town. So he used the San Sebastian Gate, which is near where the San Giovanni Basilica was, and left Rome and started on the Appian Way, which is just outside Rome. And just outside the gate, there's a church called Domine Covatus, which is Latin, which means, Lord, where are you going? So the story is that as Peter decided to flee persecution and was walking on the road, the Appian Way, Jesus stood before him and stopped him because Jesus was coming into the city as Peter was going out. So Peter says, where are you going? And the legend is that Jesus replied, I'm going into Rome to be crucified for the second time. This so moved Peter that he turned around and returned to Rome, where he was eventually imprisoned and he ended up being crucified. And he said he was not worthy to be crucified the same as his Lord, so he was crucified upside down. In this little church, it's quite fascinating. Again, we had a chance to visit it. Inside the church, there's a slab of marble about this square. And in that smooth marble, there's two footprints. And these are purported to be the footprints of Jesus, his bare feet, as he was standing on the road and confronting Peter. So it's a very moving opportunity. Again, if you go to Rome and have a chance to go there, it's something to go and visit. But this legend in Rome continues the theme from our gospel. It tells us that when we get discouraged, we feel down and we want to give up, Jesus will come to us. And if we listen to his voice, we can regain our courage and continue our walk with him. But as I said, we had another story in our readings today. And this tells us that at other times, we need to be shaken up or stopped in our tracks to recognize that the way that we may be heading is down the wrong path. We heard about the conversion of Paul. And it's interesting that in this early part, they're using his Jewish name, which is Saul, which later in the Acts of Apostles changes to Paul, which is a Gentile name. The same as in the story on the beach. even though Jesus said, your name will now be Peter, he addresses Peter in the gospel as Saul, using his old name. So we have this old and new, back and forth. Well, Saul was a very religious man. He had been trained as a Pharisee. He loved Judaism. But the followers of Jesus were called the Way, which is one of a new sect within Judaism. But Paul considered them dangerous, and he wanted to eradicate them because they were changing the religion that he loved. Paul thought that he was following God's will and protecting his faith. But Jesus appeared to him in order to redirect his religious zeal and his crusade to try and save Judaism from the Way. Like many faith groups, Christians have zealots that believe that they're righteously defending the truth. Often they're so fervent in their beliefs that they become blind to what God may actually be doing in the church. And sometimes it takes supernatural intervention to open their eyes. Well, we've had Sauls in the Anglican Church who find themselves on extreme sides of issues facing us. This summer at General Synod, they're preparing to address how to deal with the blessing of same-sex marriages. And during this time, we should ask the Holy Spirit to expand and not narrow the vision of what God is up to. We should try to look beyond ourselves and pause to examine our blind spots that might be related to some of our deepest commitments. Now, this isn't the first time the church has faced controversy that's threatened to divide its members and maybe cause some to leave. The use of the BAS, the Book of Alternative Services, rather than the BCP, the Book of Common Prayer, was very divisive. The ordination of women to the priesthood, which was approved in 1948 at the Lambeth Conference, was regarded as a radical change when it was introduced. And when General Synod adopted measures to approve these things several years ago, many people left the church. Some decided they were going to set up a new Anglican church. And I can recall in the mid-70s, when I first came to church, when people decided to start passing the peace, that was abhorrent to some people that were used to just coming in and having a very penitential service. Well, the main thing I hear is that during times of contentious issues, we have the opportunity to reflect on our own reactions against those with whom we disagree. And you know, the story about Paul or Saul tells us it's never too late to change our attitude. And God shows tremendous patience with us when we're willing to respond to his voice. So the epistle, after his encounter with Jesus, Saul came to understand that his religious zeal against the followers of Jesus was misplaced. His blindness was even healed by somebody that he wanted to arrest and persecute. And following the recovery of his sight, Saul was baptized and became the best-known evangelist in the Christian church. So God didn't punish Saul for his missionary zeal or his misplaced zeal, but he used this religious fervor for Jesus to, this religious fervor about Jesus, he called Jesus now the Son of God, to expand the way beyond Judaism and into the Gentile world. So sometimes we need to stop and listen to other viewpoints. God can use others to open our minds, to reduce our prejudices, to change our attitude. And sometimes, like Paul, we may need to repent and accept blessings from former foes in order to find that right path. But if we do, then God will be with us and can use our transformation to help others on their faith journey. Other times we may feel discouraged as we try to live out our baptismal covenant. We would rather sit in a comfortable pew and hope that nothing will change. Well, God's Spirit works in the church to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Through prayer, our eyes and ears can be opened and we can be encouraged to press on. So Jesus appeared to the remnant of his followers when they had given up and gone back to their comfort zone. They felt abandoned, but Jesus reaffirmed his presence and encouraged them to step out in faith and to spread the Easter message, which they did. We are also called to step out and be ambassadors for Christ. As he promises, if we live in him, he will live in us. So the message for this Easter season is Christ has risen, alleluia, and will always be with us. Amen.